Good morning. Welcome to the fellowship here again this morning, and as we take his time and reflect again on the Father and his goodness, it's good to share the songs together, and the song says a funny thing. I find myself without words, kind of, I'm not quoting it quite properly, and the funny thing is that's okay. I felt a little bit like that this morning, and I wish it would be okay sometime. You know, but I have some words that I need to share here this morning. So we will look into the scriptures and see what God has for us. It is Mother's Day. That is a beautiful thing that we have the opportunity to honor mothers and to celebrate Mother's Day. And I realize this morning again, and I want to start right up front with saying to those of you that are here this morning and have a desire and would love to be a mother and are not, I am sorry for that. The message I have this morning is to mothers, and recognizing again that for whatever reason, God doesn't call everyone to be a mother, and so I recognize that this morning as I share this message. So the message this morning is to those of you that are mothers, to those of us that have mothers, which we all do, grandmothers and those that are here this morning, I want you to hear from Scripture. There isn't a lot that speaks to mothers in the Bible, but there is some, and I'll try and pull out some thoughts here in the Scripture for you. I grew up in a family of six boys, and my mother was awesome. I mean, she was able to raise six boys. The one died as an infant, so there was five of us, actually, that she raised. And so I remember times where, you know, she would try and teach us things, you know, that were good and like every mother does. And we would not always learn them the best. And sometimes in our foolishness, I can still see Mom just kind of, I think she'd grin and she'd chuckle a little bit. Like, you know, it's not my proudest moment of you, but here you are. Last night I had one of those with Louie. We had our friends over for the evening that we ran around with before we were married, the group that we were with, and so we had them there for a supper, for a meal. We were all together, and as they were all getting ready to leave, so they're all, you know how friends do, they all leave at one time, and they're all around the living room there in the foyer, and that's when Louie showed up. I don't know where he was hiding the whole time, but for those of you who don't know, Louie is our cat that we have that has become a part of the family there. Louis shows up there, and he's walking around amongst them there, and a couple of the guys tried to bend down and pet Louis, and Louis was responding with batting at him and that kind of thing. You know, all you mothers have been to the place where you had someone approach your child and offer to shake their hand, and they do this number, you know? That's what Louis was doing. So I walked over, and I picked up Louis. I thought I'll hold him so that they can pet him. And in the heat of the moment, I guess he didn't realize, he was a little wired up, that it was me picking him up, and he tore into my hand, and he bit it and scratched it, and I didn't make much of a fuss about it. Most of the people didn't even know what happened. One of my friends saw it and said, well, didn't he just bite you? Well, yeah, he did. So I put him down gently. I did. I put him down gently. I did. I was looking, and the blood's running down my hand, and it's like, it's not one of my proudest moments of you, Louie, you know? But you know, the influence and the preciousness of having a mother who is willing to care for you and will accept you and will believe in you even at your worst moments. You know what I mean? It was tempting. I don't want to compare Louie to children. It's not even close. I don't even, you know, but just for the sake of understanding that mothers go way beyond themselves and are selfless for their children. And they're proud of them. Even in the times where it's not such good moments to be proud of. So looking at the scriptures this morning, again, recognizing that we have the opportunity, and we want to look at in 2 Timothy 1, there's one scripture written here by Paul that speaks to Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and I just want to share some thoughts this morning. recognizing that the influence of a mother is extremely significant, and recognizing again this morning that the influence of mother or motherhood is under attack today. And this is not new. This is not new that motherhood is under attack. Think about in the garden. Who was the first person that Satan attacked? It was going right to the heart of the home. Right to the heart of the home. And he got the influence, and he messed up the influence that was there. So right from the beginning, and when I believe this morning, when a woman or mother realizes the power of the influence that she has in the calling that God has given her, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that they will change the world. Mothers will change the world when they embrace the fact that God has given them a tremendous calling. And if there's anything you miss this morning, don't miss my passion for mothers to take seriously the calling that I believe God has placed on them for a ministry that is far above and beyond what you can even imagine. I believe this morning that there would not be need for near as many counseling offices if mothers would take their responsibility seriously. And I thank God for you mothers here this morning that have done that. Thank you. It is a wonderful blessing to the community, to the church, to the country. You give to all that are around you. So let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Grace to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This genuine faith, as it is played out, I believe we see in verse 7, is that it becomes a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind, as this here genuine faith is played out in the culture we live in. He says there, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And so this morning, recognizing again that this is something that is passed on down from generation to generation. So as a mother, I believe this morning to embrace the influence that you have and the values and things that you've received from your mother, to pass on to your children those values that God has designed. And we live in a day. We live in a day where there's confusion over gender in this society. And it's appalling. It really is. When God designed the family, he put together a particular order. He made Adam the husband and Eve the wife. He made Adam the father and Eve the mother. And much of our society, or there's some of our society today that doesn't understand that. And how much clearer can it get? And there's a dating app, and I did not look this up. I trust where it came from. There's a dating app that on this here dating app, it's just a messed up dating app. It now has 37 gender identifications one can choose when identifying oneself. Look around, it's pretty simple. God created them, what? Male and female. He created Adam to be the father, and he created Eve to be the mother. There is no question about it. It is not confusing. And to the spiritual world, we this morning say, it is not confusing. Amen? So we believe this morning that God created this, and Psalms 139 says this, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that much my soul knoweth right well. That's from the King James Version. Genesis 1:27 says this, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. It is not left up to us to decide what we're going to be. It's not. God created us who we are. Let's honor God with that. And I recognize this morning, as we look at the responsibility of mothers and looking at the time that we're living in and the things that we're being bombarded with, and I realize this morning that sometimes for a mother you might say, how in the world can I raise my children and protect them in this culture that we live in? How can I raise them? How can I raise them to the honor and the glory of God in the day that we're living in when they're being bombarded with all kinds of filth and stuff that doesn't make sense? How can I be the one that will raise these children up to honor and glorify God? I'm here to tell you this morning, mothers, you are here for such a time as this. It is not a mistake that God put you here, that he brought you up through time, that he raised you to this point where you're at today. He raised you to raise your children to honor and glorify God. And it's not a mistake that God put your children in your family, at your place, in your time. It is not a mistake. You are here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Embrace the ministry that God has called you to. Embrace the ministry. How appalling it is that one even needs to make this distinction between male and female. And how much more appalling is it that when you do that, you are declared hateful, insensitive? It's even more appalling yet that to declare that there is a male and a female makes you insensitive and hateful. What I have said to you this morning is determined by some to be hateful and insensitive. And I want to tell you up front this morning, the enemy is not people. The enemy is not flesh and blood. When you run into these people, when you run into these sources or these situations where there are people who are telling you that you can choose what you want to be, do not take it out on the person. Be careful. As children of God, be careful, because it is not flesh and blood that we are fighting. It's a spiritual realm. It's the spiritual realm that we are fighting this morning. And as it was shared here earlier, Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, to take away everything that God has designed. And I declare this morning for New Covenant, we are going to stand on the Word of God. Amen? We are going to stand on the Word of God and what it says, not what the news media says, not what the liberal people say, not what Satan is saying through them. See? See where I went right there? We need to love these people. These people have been deceived. And if they're deceived, then they need to hear the truth, right? And if we're going to be people of truth, then we need to live the truth. We need to live the truth of God's word, that God has called us to be people who will represent the kingdom of God, and it happens through family. It happens through family. And I know, again, this morning there are some of you here that would love to have family and do not. I'm sorry. But you still have the opportunity to be a servant for God, to share the message. So looking at the responsibility of mother and wife, and looking at how Paul called out the genuine faith that was in Timothy, and I recognize this morning that there's a difference in the responsibilities that God has given to men and women. And in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And I find this morning the beauty of the weaker vessel. It does not say that she is of lesser value or inferior. It says that she is a weaker vessel. And one of the beautiful things that comes with a mother being a weaker vessel is that she is more sensitive. She is more caring. And guess what? That makes her more vulnerable. So today, I am glad that Karen is sensitive and that she has a caring heart. I'm glad that my mother was sensitive and had a caring heart, because, you know, my dad did his job. He did the part that he was supposed to do, and my mother, she did her part. And I think about the whole thing of my mother raising five boys and with dad working away, and she did a lot of that with a 3-foot piece of garden hose under the sink. And it was worn. It was well used. And it should have been used some more. I should have had a few more. I admit it. There are some things that I didn't learn, but I should have had a couple more to learn it. So the beauty of it was that mom was still sensitive, and yet she was able to use the garden hose and apply it where it needed to be applied. And so it didn't make her less, but it's recognized in the scripture as a weaker vessel. Women are more emotional, more tender, more sensitive. Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, yea, shall not that ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? Let me read it again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And I think this morning of the whole feminist movement and how that thing played itself out in actually making women of less value than what they are. That's how it's played itself out. It has not been good. It has not done our society a justice, if you will. I think there was things that we needed to learn with honoring women, and I'm glad today that there is much more sensitivity to that, and that there's a lot more effort given to honor women and to treat them not as objects. That, yeah, you know what I'm saying. But of value. The feminist movement didn't bring that. Paul teaches it in the scriptures that are written. So looking at this statement made in verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. And I had to think about what is genuine. What is genuine faith? And this is for all of us this morning, not just mothers, but mothers to you. What does genuine faith look like? What is genuine faith? Well, what is something that is an imitation? It's you talk about leather. There's Bible covers that are true leather, and there are those that are an imitation leather. They look like. They are not the real thing. They are an imitation of. They are not genuine. It is imitation. And I ask you mothers this morning, are you genuine? Do your children see you as genuine and real? Are they experiencing you the way that God has designed you to be for them and to be an example to them? Are you showing that? Because I want to tell you this morning, there's one thing that children are. They are perceptive. They see you. They know you. You cannot hide it from them. If you are not being genuine in your faith, they see it. They see it. And so my challenge this morning is, again, to take a deep look at, am I actually displaying to my children and to my family a genuine faith? And that goes for fathers as well, and to uncles and aunts and grandmothers and grandfathers, and how am I showing the world, the people that I work with, the people that I live with, am I showing them a genuine faith, or is it just a look-alike? Is it real? Is it real? Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. Passing on her faith, it needs to be intentional, and it's imperative that we do, that we pass that faith on. And here's another sobering fact. There was a listener that wrote to Dr. Dobson's radio program, Focus on the Family, wrote this saying that she had discovered thousands of books have been taken from her public library. Investigations showed that these books were the ones based on the traditional roles of father and mother. Father the breadwinner and mother the staying home to rear the children. Now the shelves were stocked with books that portrayed the contemporary woman who pursues her career outside the home. The children are at a daycare center, and the father is equally involved in their upbringing. The woman portrayed in that manner is in every respect equal to man. That's what she wrote in there. That she discovered that the books taken out of the library were the traditional family and replaced with, and there probably are a lot more now that go even a lot further to distorting and messing up the family, messing up what God has created as family. Another quote that I found, it was on Alistair Begg's website by a Trinidad Wake Up, was the person that put it there. Christianity, what Christianity is not. As we think about genuine Christianity, and you think about what does that look like? Christianity is not knowing cute Hillsong lyrics. Christianity is not having a Bible verse on your IG bio. Maybe that's Instagram, I don't know, IG. It is not following the world and chasing worldly possessions. It is not following Jesus only when you feel like it. It's not being holy during Lent or Holy Week and then back to your dirty deeds after Good Friday. Christianity is, however, denying yourself and dying to yourself. Being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Living for God 24/7. Worshiping him no matter how hard life gets. Pleasing Jesus rather than people, even if it costs you to lose relationships. Being so different from the world that you are considered alien. Following the word of God, not man-made traditions. To not be ashamed of Jesus in front of friends or at work or anywhere. This is to be a Christian. A genuine Christian. Mothers, your influence is incredible. And there's a couple of stories in the Bible that I was going to take time to read, which I won't at this time. It's Jochebed with Moses. When Moses was born, we all know the story where the children were supposed to be killed. And so Jochebed kept Moses hidden for 3 months. When he was 3 months old, she took him, put him in a basket, and laid him in the river. That's like taking him up to Harrisburg and putting him in the Susquehanna. Can you imagine the selflessness that mother had to experience to lay her child, her three-month-old child, in a basket, trusting that somehow something good was going to come out of this? I cannot comprehend how that must have felt to her. But there's something that is missing in our culture today, and I want to call our mothers to, and that is selflessness. Selflessness, being willing to give up, being willing to go the extra mile and do the things that need to be done for your family, for your children. Hannah was another one in 1 Samuel 1, where she prayed for a child and finally God blessed her with a child, and she made a promise to God that after she would, if she would have this child, she would dedicate it to him. Going back to Moses, however, I didn't finish that story, was she put him in the river, and we all know the story how the princess came along and found him there and opened the basket, and he cried and touched her heart, and Moses' sister went and got Moses' mother to come and take care of Moses. And then there was till the time when he was weaned. And then she had to give him up again. Not just one time, but two times. And he went to the palace where she probably never saw him. Hannah was a little bit different. She gave up her son Samuel to the temple there, and they went there once a year to worship and that kind of thing. So she probably saw him some. We have another story, and that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. When they were there, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, I'm losing the names in my mind this morning, a lot of other things, but when they were there, and the old guy came and blessed Jesus and said, now he can go and die, but he said, however, a sword is going to pierce your soul. Now, the thing any mother wants to loves to hear is that a sword is going to pierce your child. But Mary followed God. She followed him selflessly. You know, for most of us, the intent would have been, we would have been tempted to try and hide him or protect him or whatever it might be, but she didn't. She followed him. She went with him, and she went right to the cross with him. She was there for him. She walked beside him, and I want to call out to you mothers this morning and grandmothers, walk with your children. Walk beside them. They're going to go through some really difficult times that you can't take away, but you can be there for them. You can give them your heart, and you can encourage them, and they can know that you are there for them. Don't let the things that this world is, the mold that this world is trying to press you into, to say that you don't have time for that you don't have time, because for your children, those of you that have children, there's no greater responsibility that you have than to that child, to those children. And my hat's off to you. Eric talked about the preparing and sending out, and I thought about last Sunday as Eric was preaching, the whole sending out mothers. Oh man, I just desire in my heart to send out mothers, to bless them, to encourage them in the work that God has called them, the ministry, incredible ministry. You feel like you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You're doing incredible things for the kingdom of God as a mother and as grandmothers. As a grandmother, let me talk to you a little bit. Grandmothers, don't forget the influence and the ability you have now to minister to your grandchildren, to impart life, to encourage them, to give them hope, and you have an incredible opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. One of the things that I believe that is born in every parent, and especially in mothers too, is to protect our children. And you would do anything. You would, if there was a kidnapper coming to your home, you would do anything to stop them. You would be at the door. You would be the first one. The kidnapper would have to get through you to get to your children, right? There is a kidnapper that wants your child, and he is using media to get to your child. And I ask, do you have the same passion? Do you have the passion that you would have if a physical person was walking into your house today to stop them from taking your child? Or do you sit them in front of a TV that is unmonitored, or give them a phone that is not monitored, that the enemy is after your child to take them away? He is a kidnapper. And I ask you this morning, do you have the same passion that you would have? Do you watch your children? Do you look after them? Do you care for them in the same way that when they're out walking on the street at night by themselves, that you would be somewhere nearby? Or that you're somehow concerned about where they're going or what they're seeing or where they're at, so that that no one will be able to steal them? And yet it's coming right into our homes. It's coming right into our homes. And sometimes we don't even bat an eye, and sometimes, in fact, we encourage it. Go sit in front of the TV. I don't have time for you. whatever you want to watch. I believe that that Jesus showed the heart of a mother. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So there are times, mothers, that you will give your all to your children, and they would not. They will choose not to. They will choose not to. I can't tell you not to hurt, because I believe it hurts. But sometimes they choose not to. But a godly mother will do her best to reach out and protect. The kidnapping of the soul is far more scarier than the kidnapping of the person, than the physical being. Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So to you mothers, to you fathers, when I use the word be afraid, as he does here in Matthew, he says, rather be afraid of the one. Respect, recognize, honor, and fear God. Fear God as you mother, fear God and bring honor and glory to him. There was a sheriff's office in Texas City that once distributed a list of rules titled, How to Raise a Juvenile Delinquent in Your Family. He says this, and I begin the quote, begin with infancy, to give the child everything that they want. This is to raise a delinquent. This will ensure his believing that the world owes him a living. In other words, let them be a free thinker. Give them everything they want. Don't restrict them in anything. Just give them what they want. Pick up everything he leaves laying around. This will teach him that he can always throw off responsibility onto others. And this one's pretty serious. Take his part against neighbors, teachers, policemen, and I-headed church leaders. They are all prejudiced against your child. He is a free spirit, and he is never wrong. They are always wrong. And you will raise a delinquent. And he says, finally, prepare yourself for a life of grief. You're going to have it. So this morning, I call to you mothers again, and I thank you, those of you that have taken seriously, and I know that they're, again, recognizing there are those that have taken very serious and have taught and have children that have chosen not to walk. But thank you for taking the responsibility to your family to protect them, to teach them, to raise them to the honor and the glory of God. Thank you for that. He says there, and it goes on, and I'm not going to develop this all these verses, but I feel like verse 7 gives the emphasis of what it happens, what it looks like to have a genuine faith. There is power. There is love. And there is a sound mind. It makes sense. What you're teaching, when you have a genuine faith, you have a genuine faith in God and him alone, not in the things that this culture is pumping into your head, but you have a genuine faith. It's a sound mind. God has given you a sound mind. You say, how am I going to raise my children? How am I going to teach them? God has given you a sound mind to use to his honor and to his glory. Use it. Use it. You've been given it. So, I say to you this morning, keep on, carry on, don't grow weary. Recognize the enemy's attack to destroy the home, first of all. And then embrace the mission and the ministry that God has given you as a mother. And to those of us who are supporting mothers, fathers, children. Get behind them. Get behind them. Encourage them. Help them along. Help them to do this job that God has called them to do, because they need encouragement from people of sound mind. But you fathers, children, I'm not saying they don't have sound mind. I'm saying the world is not coming with a sound mind. They need to hear it from people with a sound mind. That's you. That's your children. That's that. Speak to your mothers, your grandmothers, and encourage them. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look into your word. And thank you, Father, for the encouragement and the challenge that we see here, that Paul saw in Timothy what was in his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, and was in him also. Father, I pray this morning that for every mother that is here this morning, that they would be that person that would pass on to their children a genuine faith that would be recognized down through the generations, and that would honor and glorify you in everything that is said and done. So, Father, this morning again, we give this your place, you give this congregation to you, and Father, recognizing the enemy's desire to kill and destroy family, Lord, I pray this morning that you would protect us here at New Covenant. Lord, we submit to you that we want to be true to your word and represent truly what you have designed for family. As a Father, this morning, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, and I thank you so much, Lord, for the mothers and grandmothers that are represented here who have taken seriously the faith that you have imparted to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to lead us in a closing song.